It's City Desk, bringing you news and views from City Hall. And now your host of City Desk, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. Here's Mr. Creel.
Thank you, William Sackett, our moderator for the program that we're doing today. And we want to welcome in David Nichols, the Chief Administrative Officer of the City. Good morning, David.
Good morning. Our podcast, right?
Podcast, yes, sir. I keep saying webcast, and we have an intern that's witnessing our program today, Charlie Benton, who's with us this summer, and he's explained to us what a podcast and a webcast are. Podcast is episodic, usually taped, and a webcast is usually a live thing like a concert or a city council meeting. Speaking of city council meetings, David, we had our was that our last city council meeting over in the Civic Center? Are we moving back to City Hall now?
Right. We've got the elevator repaired, and several weeks, and it's back in good condition, and it's a little bit slow going up, but that trip down is great.
Now, we had the city council meeting on Tuesday. There seemed to be a number of issues that came up, but one of them was about the this house over on 128 Porter Avenue, right north of the town green. It's a house that the city bought some time ago. Actually, the city was buying the property, as I understand, right?
Right. The city wanted the property. It's right next to the second oldest colonial cemetery in the United States. And we wanted to buy that property, take down the home. It was still damaged from Hurricane Katrina. And so we wanted to take the home down and use that area kind of as a staging area, landscape it, and be right there next to the Colonial Cemetery where people that who want to go and do research or maybe even do some diggings in the area would have an area to stage from. And so, but some of the local residents wanted to save the home, and which is commendable. And
let me interrupt you for 1 second. You said the house was still had remnants of damage from Hurricane Katrina 10 years ago, but there was something else that occurred in the last couple of years.
Right after the city acquired it, it caught on fire, and so it was on the inside totally gutted, and on the backside the roof was burned out, so it sustained substantial damage, and building division said that it would cost a lot of money to repair it. But some of the people who like the historical homes that came in, and they want to take a look at maybe repairing it or moving it or whatever, so I suspect the city will give them a little bit of time to take a look and see what they want to do.
And as I understand it, since it was purchased with Coastal Impact Assistance Program money, if I got that right, what the deal there is that means that the city cannot just give this house to somebody, nor can there be any commercial activity at that site.
Right. The Coastal Impact money is for, open areas and green space, but, when you buy something with federal money, certain strings come attached. So, those are some of the strings that are attached to it.
And the reason that the house, this will be the last thing, and we'll move on to another subject. The reason that the house, the whole issue came before the city council, as someone said at the meeting, it's not because the house has any historical significance. It's because it is in an area of the city that has historical significance.
Right. And, and Lewis Rash, who filed the appeal, and there were some others in there who may want to save the building. They just need to value it. It's going to come down to economics. What is it going to cost to fix a building up and then move it?
And it's not like you can put a gift shop in it where it is right now. So now the other things that came up at the city council meeting were there were some things involving MGM Park, a couple of change orders, one of them funded by the team. The other one had to do with a concrete pad that's going to be used for a trash compactor. But they just kicked off some more games over there last night. You got to be happy with the way this thing is being received.
So far, it's it's above attendance projections. So that's always important, and especially since we lost our $2 per ticket for the first couple of years. We want a lot of people there and spend a lot of sales tax money. And as hot as it's been, they've sold a lot of soft drinks and beer, and that'll be good.
And the next phase that we've seen happen is now the suites are open across the top, and I think some more seating areas were open, primarily that, which gets it closer to its 6,000 seating capacity. Okay, we're here in Biloxi City Hall, and I noticed the arrangement of the room's a little bit different because Mayor Gilich had a meeting in here the other day to talk about an issue. Some people might not realize how important this issue is.
Yeah, it is very important to Keesler Air Force Base to move the main gate, which is at White Avenue. They have proposed to move it to Division Street, and Mayor Gilich has worked on this, and this is one of the main things he wants to do as mayor, is to get this moving, get this done. You know, Keesler's got to be a little bit careful, and the federal government, the senators and representatives, they also got to be careful that they don't step on the wrong toes. So they are, you know, trying to get all the politics right to get this done. But this is a major concern for Keesler Air Force Base, is the location of the base. They really don't have a way to defend themselves if there's a security threat at that particular gate due to its configuration and the railroad tracks.
That is something some people think, well, gee whiz, so the city didn't have anything to do one day, so they said, let's move the gate for Keesler over to Division Street. This is something that the commander of Keesler, General Higby, said is critical to the security of Keesler Air Force Base, because if you go up White Avenue right now, they can't queue the vehicles to get in. And the reason they can't queue the vehicles is because everything is so tight right there. You've got the red light, then you've got the railway crossing there, and then you've got Keesler Air Force Base Visitor Center. So it sounds to me like what they want to do is give themselves some more room so that they are actually checking vehicles, a novel idea, checking them before they come onto the base.
Right. That was one of his major concerns. He said right now, if you check a vehicle, you're actually allowing it into the interior of the base, and which if it, it you know, potentially could be carrying explosives or something like that. And, you know, once that happens, they're inside the base. And, you know, what I don't know, I think the term they use, the kill area.
That's right, kill zone. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so, I mean, you would be right there by some barracks. You'd be there by some offices, be right there by the visitor center. So it could really cause a lot of problems for the base.
And it would give it more a more appealing and, dare I say, inviting presence for the front of the Air Force Base. And more secure is the key thing here. And the other thing is right now they're having to move commercial vehicles along with civilians right through that one gate in a crowded area. Sometimes they have to do a workaround. And it's just, he said it was something, if this was before 9/11, it would not be a problem. But he said since then, the standards for these bases have really been upgraded, and that one does not meet the standards. And he's very careful to say he does not want to get involved into any conversation involving BRAC, which, of course, the mayor and you feel is very important.
Right. The air base can't get involved in BRAC talk or decisions. But it is a real security thing. But you know, we General Griffith says that it is a BRAC issue because it shows a weakness for the base.
And that would be the Base Realignment and Closure Commission hearings that Congress is want to do every so often to try to cut costs. So, David, we've talked about Keesler Air Force Base. We've talked about the city council meetings moving back to the Civic Center. We've talked about the house over there on Porter Avenue. And the mayor is gone. Where did the mayor go?
I don't know. The mayor is in Los Angeles. You know, as one of his things he really wants to concentrate on is bringing high-speed internet service here. And just so happens the National League of Cities is one of their sessions or their whole day today is concentrated on broadband. And so he and Mr. Blessy are out there attending those today. I hope they got there. They weren't scheduled to get there till late last night. And you know, hopefully he'll bring back some knowledge for us. And this is, you know, he talks fast, but when he's talking about things like this, I mean, he really gets excited.
Very animated. So he's going to be coming back and telling us about that on a future podcast. The other things, we've got a city council meeting coming up, not this week, but the week after. And what else is happening?
Well, one important thing, we got MML starting here next week. That's the Mississippi Municipal League. And they bring 2,500-ish delegates here to the Mississippi Gulf Coast. Used to be the largest convention on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. And I don't know if that standard is still there, but they do bring an awful lot of people. They spend a lot of money here. And it's just an opportunity for the Mississippi Gulf Coast to showcase itself to the rest of the state and show us our best foot forward next week. And us and Gulfport are kind of the host cities, and so the mayor will be giving a welcome along with Billy Hughes. And you know, we might even get Chipper McDermott up there something.
Yeah. Chipper McDermott, who said people are coming back to Pass Christian just like bad checks. They always come back. I'll never forget that line. William Sackett, we had a great thing last night over at the Orr O'Keefe Museum of Art, and it was called Y'all Aboard, where it was a conversation about bringing back passenger rail service. We've got Bobby Eleuteris coming up this Friday, who's going to talk about D'Iberville, the little city that could and did. And what have you learned from being the voice of Katrina Plus 10?
You know, in each of those get-togethers, or I like to say rendezvous in time, you see a sea of smiling faces, but you look into the eyes of those that attend, and you know that they remember, that they appreciate, and they also see where the growth has been, or should I say the whole purpose of this get-together over the past 10 years. It's a true spirit of camaraderie of men and women who have lived through something horrific, bonded together, and we're reminiscing not in a kumbaya, you know, auld lang syne, but acknowledging who we are and what we are as people of the coast.
And we want to remind people that that exhibition involving Mississippi Power, the Sun Herald, WLOX, the Mississippi Department of Transportation, and Hands On Mississippi, it's open every day at the Orr O'Keefe Museum of Art. It has surpassed 10,000 visitors, on its way to 20,000, and it's going to be open through September 12th. And anything else?
Yeah, one thing, Vincent, you said to me this morning a little bit about where the visitors are coming from. Share that with our listening audience.
We could not be more thankful of the partnership we've got with all of the resorts along the Mississippi Gulf Coast, the casino resorts and the hotel rooms from all the way over from Waveland all the way over to Pascagoula. What we've done is we've given $2 discounts of $2 tickets to each of the hotels, and as people check in, they're given those tickets as something for them to see and do while they're here. And we think that it's helping tell our story, it's moving our story forward, and thank you, because that we owe a tremendous debt of gratitude to the Hotel Motel Association, also known as the Mississippi Lodging Association, and all of our hoteliers along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. They see the value in telling our story. Okay, one final question that I have. Oh, they're coming from all over the Southeast. That the greatest thing that Orr has noticed is that, and I'm going to get Kevin O'Brien here to talk about where they're coming from specifically, because when they bring in the $2 tickets, they're writing down on the back of the ticket where the people are coming from. So they have a good demographic research to look at for whenever they go to do their next exhibit. My question is this, and if you want to know about Katrina Plus 10, go to Katrina, P-L-U-S, plus the number 10.com. I want to know what his goals are as the moderator of the City Desk podcast. As you've been named the moderator of the City Desk podcast, William Sackett. So what are your goals now?
Well, I'm simply liaison from point A to point B, and or I should say to be the conduit between the two eloquent gentlemen that I co-host with, and they're very special guests. And as a broadcaster, I'm most privileged and honored to be able to do that.
Well, thank you very much, and we're going to expect more and more from you in the coming weeks on this program. David, anything else we didn't touch on? Father's Day is coming up. MML is going to be in town. We've got a number of chiefs in town, too. We forgot to mention that. The Mississippi Association of Police Chiefs are in town right now, and we just had the Association of Supervisors here.
Right. This is time of year where people really like to come to the Mississippi Gulf Coast, and hopefully they're spending a lot of money in our restaurants. I know the police chiefs took all the wives out to lunch yesterday, so hopefully they spent a lot of money at our local restaurants.
Okay. On behalf of David Nichols, the Chief Administrative Officer, on behalf of Vincent Creel, the Public Affairs Manager, and intern Charlie Benton, who has joined us today to watch the program, William Sackett, bring us home.
You've been listening to City Desks. This is news and views from City Hall with your host, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi. This is William Sackett speaking.